Go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. We'll start reading on verse 1, Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus says, Are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are all the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word that you left us. We pray, my Father, that you would just open up our hearts, that we can understand thy word, that we would not have to be asking, what do you mean? Lord, I pray, my Father, that you help us also to see what you have written. Help us, Lord, to take it to our heart. Father, we pray above all this that you speak to every heart that's here according to thy will and purpose. And we pray that you would be lifted up and magnified, that you would, only you would receive all the honor and glory because only thou art worthy. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, this story also appears in Mark chapter 7. Every time I'm going to read something from the New Testament, I like to check it, see where else it appears. And some of the stories appear two times, three times, sometimes four times. And I've said this before, if it appears just one time, that's good enough. God didn't make a mistake. He wants you to learn it. But if he says it twice or three times, then to me, I think that it is extremely important that we pay attention to what God has to say. It's something that he doesn't want you to miss. He wants you to hit you right between the eyes. He wants you to understand what he has to say. And it's just like President Bush in his book. He was saying that when the first plane hit the towers, he says, oh, that was a mistake. When the second one hit, he realizes, oh, wait a minute, we're under attack. But when the third one hit, he says, oh boy, we're at war now. But let me tell you, there's no mistake here. And we are at war. We are at war with so many things, with the devils of this world. We're at war even with our own heart. And I'm going to be telling you a lot of things that are in these passages. But I don't want to dwell too much on everything. I want to get to the heart of the matter, and that's your heart. This is really what I need to talk mostly about. And I just want to let you know that the heart, my friend, is not a Jewish problem. It is not even an American problem. It's a world problem. We all have problems with our heart. That's what the Bible tells us. We all suffer from heart failure. Our heart is very deceiving. It is very wicked. And it's not just them or over there. It's all of us. Every human being, we've all had a heart problem. You know, just like Brother King Kate, he's got heart problems. I've got heart problems. I'm talking about the physical. But Brother King Kate's heart needed to be to get an adjustment. It was not vibrating or in rhythm. So he had to go to the doctor so they could check him a little bit and get everything in rhythm. And that's why you come to church. And you come so that your heart can be evened out with God's word. Because our heart is always over here and we need to set it so it can be lined up with God's word, not the other way around. You see, this is what these people were doing, the religious people of that day, the same way with today. They line up the word of God to match with their heart. And it should be the other way around. The word of God is our standard.
Amen.
It is our shield, and this is where we stand, and we need to line up our heart to be even Amen. With God's word. Somebody, a cousin of mine gave me a rifle not too long ago. It had a scope, and I was getting ready to go hunting, and he had told me, oh, it's already zeroed in. Well, I went to the firing range because I don't trust men's word. And when I began to shoot, it was way off. And, of course, it might have just gotten off in time, but if I had just taken his word, I never would have killed that deer. But what I did is I began to shoot my groups, and I was way off, and I began to align my crosshairs. I had to bring it in on the windage. I had to bring in the elevation until I was right on target, and then I said, okay, it's ready to go. But what if I had stood up at the firing line and told everybody, hold on, guys, I need to go down range to a range to fix my target. It's a little bit off. They would have laughed at me. You don't arrange the target, you arrange your scope. And this is why we're here for this morning. We need to arrange our hearts to be equal with God's word. This is what it's all about. And false religion, of course, they do the opposite. They want to change the word of God, and they change it to their heart. And that's why we have so many different Bibles. But it's like I said, it's not a Jewish problem. We've had it all along throughout the scriptures. I'll just give you some examples, even from the time of Adam and Eve. The devil came and he spoke to Eve. She had already received God's word. She should have judged everything by God's word. But all the devil has to do is come in and just throw in a little temptation. Come on now. You can be like God. Did God really say this? And the next thing you know, when Eve responds, she changes God's word. All she had to do was just add a little bit or take a little bit, and she's off. And that's why she wind up going into sin. She wind up disobeying God's word. In other words, she changed God's word. Then, of course, her son Cain. You see his story. He's got another brother by the name of Abel. Abel decides he's going to follow God's word. But here comes Cain, and Cain is going to disregard it. Cain is disobedient. Even though God argued with him and told him, come on, now just do it this way. Why are you wroth? Why has your countenance fallen? And this guy was so upset and mad, he disobeyed God's word. And you know the story. He became a murderer. And the word of God had been rejected. Then, of course, you might say, well, yeah, but he's a wicked guy. Well, let's look at Moses. Moses was a very humble man. The Bible says he was the most meekest man in the whole world. Yet this man had already brought the people of God out of Egypt. The waters had opened up so that he could go across the Red Sea like as of dry land. This guy was doing miracle after miracle. He was bringing down so many things and even giving them water. But then God told them, you know, he had already smitten the rock like God had told him. Water came out. But the second time around, God told him, speak to the rock. Yeah. And he decided, no, I've already arrived. You see, I'm big shot. I'm the one with the PhDs. I'm the one that's the attorney here. I'm the one that knows better. I'm going to listen to my heart. And that's exactly what he did. He got all upset. He says, I'm big shot here. Instead, he decides he's going to hit the rock. So what did he do? He disobeyed God's word. And he was a very holy man. Then we have David. David was a man after God's own heart. This guy had already slain the lion. He had killed the bear. He had slain Goliath. This guy was singing sweet psalms to God. This guy wanted to have a heart like God. He was known as a man after God's own heart. But let me tell you, the devil knows exactly how to drop you. He knows exactly where your weakness is. And all he had to do was send him a real good-looking lady. And you see, the devil knows. That's why the Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And just like you see lions on those channels where it's showing about how they hunt, they're not looking to go in and attack the whole crowd. They go for the straggler. Yeah. The one who stays behind. The one who's alone. The one who's weak. And that's what David did. David didn't go to the fight. He stayed behind. He had already been in the fights. He should have been out there like all the other kings. But instead he decided, hey, I've arrived. I've already attained. I can sit back and relax. And that's exactly what happened. That's what the devil's looking for. When you think you've arrived, the devil has something to drop you. He sent a beautiful girl. And it didn't take long before in his own heart he said, you know what? I know God's word. And just like Eve changed it, just like Cain rejected it, just like Moses disobeyed it, I'm going to ignore it. And he fell. And you see, God tells you that we all have a heart problem. Elijah was a great man of God. Elijah could stop the rain. Elijah could bring the rain down. He could bring down fire. He was doing so many great things. And this man had just finished slaying 400 prophets. This guy was a true man of God, but the devil knows your weakness. All he did was send an email or a registered letter or something from Jezebel. Tell him that I'm gonna whip him, and he's gonna be just like those prophets by tomorrow. And this guy flees the scene. He don't want to be around. He takes off. What happened now? This man of faith, all of a sudden lost his faith in the Word of God. So you see, it don't matter how you cut it. It's not just a problem with holy men of God or with holy women. It happens to the wicked man just the same. We have the same heart. Our heart is very wicked, and that's what we have here in this story. We have people who thought they had arrived. These guys were false pretenders. They were false teachers. God calls them blind guides. And they want to ask the Lord some silly questions about, well, your apostles, your disciples don't even wash their hands. Let me tell you, they weren't concerned about that. Most guys don't wash their hands. I grew up going to school, going and playing football, being in the mud and the sand, coming home, grabbing a tortilla, heating it up, put some beans, and take off running, and I never got sick. Not until later on my heart got sick, but it wasn't because of the dirt. I used to eat dirt. They weren't concerned about the dirt. They just wanted to see if they could catch God on something, just so they could embarrass somebody. It wasn't what they were asking. That's why Jesus called them, "You hypocrites." You see, God read their heart, just like He reads yours, just like He reads mine. And many times we have a different agenda, even though we ask questions. Even though, and you see that in politics, you see that in our everyday life. People are asking questions many times, and that's not really what they care for. They're telling you one thing, but they mean something else. That's why God called them, "You hypocrites, you pretenders." These were the lawyers. These were the Johnny Cochran's of their day. These are the ones that say, if you don't fit, then you must acquit. And this is what people today do the same thing. If it doesn't fit their heart, then they have to change it to fit their hearts instead of the other way around. You see, these guys were just religious. But let me give you the first lesson of this morning. These religious people, they were asking some things. And what you learn from here, before I get to the real problem, to the heart, is that religion will not save you. Amen. These people were religious. There's many religious people in this life. You see them all the time. And Jesus is always warning us about that. He says in Matthew 7, "Not everyone that says unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of God. But he that doeth the will of my Father." In other words, you have a will. And God has a will, and you have to line up your will with God's will. That's why He says, "Only those who do the will of my Father." And He says, "And they will tell me on that day, 'But Lord, didn't we do wonderful works? And in your name we cast out devils.'" And He says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." There's going to be a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth, my friend. Very important that even though we're all religious, we all believe in something. Just like everybody in this world, everybody has a belief. Even those who don't believe in there is a God, that is their religion. But we all have a religion. We all have a belief. And God points it out that just like He did with these people, it's not the external that matters. It's not what's on the outside that's gonna really hurt you. It's what comes out of your mouth. Amen. And this is something that God points out. I remember when I had just gotten saved, I came from a religion that pointed everything to the outside. You had to do everything from the outside to be able to get to heaven. This is one of the passages that I read that really opened up my eyes. Because they had taught me that if I would get baptized, that it would take away all my original sin, and that somehow I would wind up in heaven because I had been baptized by somebody who said that the water was now holy. San Antonio Water System will not cleanse you of your sins. It don't matter how much soap you put in it. You can even chamwow it or whatever, you're not going to make it that way. The only thing that can change it is God. He's the only one that can really cleanse your heart. So I had been lied to. When I saw this, I said, wow. The things from the outside, it can defile me and it can cleanse me. But the same way with so many other things. They used to tell me that if I would eat that little bread, that God was in it. And God is saying here, when I saw what Jesus is saying, what comes in your mouth goes out. And I said, wow. But they taught me that I was eating God. And what He's trying to say, and He spoke to me very clearly, I was very ignorant. I had never read the scriptures. But I was beginning to see I've been fooled. Just like these people were fooling the people of their day, people are still being fooled by the same thing. They're always trying to line up God's word to line up with their heart, and it should be the other way around. But that's what I had been doing. You see, Jesus wants you to understand. And that's why he says, "Are you also without understanding?" And you know, the thing is that we all have a problem with our heart. And this is the apostles. This is Peter asking the question. "Lord, explain to us so that we might understand." And God says, "Are you also without understanding?" Isn't that a shame? These guys had been with Jesus. They should have known better. It wasn't the first time he had told them. If you go further before Matthew 15, you'll find that in verse 12 that he says, "Whatsoever you speak with your mouth, though every idle word, you'll have to give an account one day." It's what comes out of your heart. That's why he tells you even in the Old Testament in Proverbs. He says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, you need to watch out for your heart. Your heart can deceive you. You just like when I go hunting or I'm out in the woods, I go out into my property in the back. I took my grandkids the other day to go shoot with a .22 so I can teach them safety. And when I'm walking, I'm looking and I'm looking down. I'm looking for snakes. We have copperheads over there. I'm also looking for any other type of animal. I want to be ready. When you walk in this life, you ought to be alert also. They always tell you when you're out at the mall, look around, see who's behind you, in front of you. This is how you prevent robberies and how you prevent somebody from snatching your purse. Be alert all the time. And that's how it is in this life. But in the spiritual, it's the same way. Amen. He says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." That means you need to always be guarding it. Because the next thing you know, here's a big billboard sign of somebody naked, of beer, and this will make you happy. Next thing you know, you're going through the internet, and then you wind up in sites you shouldn't be. And you allow your heart to see all that. You begin to meditate, and the next thing you know, you're coming out with things that come out from the sewer. That's why he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Because out of the heart are all the issues of life. You see, God had just told him. Jesus had just told him in Matthew 12. He says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Out of the abundance of the heart. What's in your heart? Well, if you put nothing but trash, trash will come out. That's why I hear people say bad things, and they're supposed to be Christians. I hear them make accusations, and I hear them say things that ought not to come out. And I say, what's in the heart? Because Jesus tells you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And he had just finished telling them also that every idle word that comes out, you will have to give an account. And for somebody to say, "Well, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean it," God says you do. And you will have to give an account. You won't be able to say, "Well, I really didn't meant to say that." That was in your heart. It's extremely important. Every idle word, you will have to give an account. So you see, on Matthew 15, when you hear an apostle saying, "Explain it to us, give us the definition of this parable," and when Jesus says, "Are you also without understanding?" They shouldn't have been in that position. The same way with you. You read the Word of God. You come here. Now, I can understand somebody where they don't teach the Word of God. They just tell them nothing but love. They never tell them about judgment. They never tell them about the justice of God. They never tell them about the government of God. They don't tell them that they'll have to give an account. I can understand them saying that. But for us, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So if you're getting the Word of God and just like Peter had already heard it, that was ridiculous for him to say, explain it to us. That's why Jesus says, or you also without understanding. Let me tell you, this was a rebuke. God does rebuke. This is not the only time that Peter got rebuked. Peter got rebuked also on the next chapter where God says, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't understand some things. He didn't understand what God had said. We need to pay attention to what the Bible says. We need to line up our heart to be even with God's Word, not the other way around. Don't give it a false interpretation. Don't give it your own twist. Don't tweak God's Word. Amen. You will be held accountable. Amen. Unto whomsoever much is given, much is required. So God does get after his people. He gets after the church. He does correct. He does rebuke. And he doesn't only do it there. He does it many times over. It's extremely important. This is God's government. We all have governments. Even the devil has their own hierarchy. You get into talk about the mafia. They've got their lieutenants and they've got their soldiers who do all the dirty work. You look at God's Word, He has His pastors, His elders, and then you have the remainder. And over everywhere you see a government that God has, and He expects obedience. This is the only way it functions. But you know, our attitudes and words that we speak is who you really are. That's why in Jeremiah 17:9 He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This is something that especially when I first read it, I said, well, maybe not all hearts. All hearts. God didn't say only those over there. He didn't say only the heathen. He didn't say only those that are in the bush. He said the heart is deceitful above all things. He didn't make no distinction. This is the Jewish heart. This is the American heart. This is the Mexican heart. This is the heart of all people. It is very deceitful and desperately wicked. That's why we have to watch our heart. That's why we have to watch our mouth. It is so true. It is not a misprint. There's no need to explain it anymore. It is very bad. That's why Ecclesiastes 5, Verse 2, he says, be not rash with thy mouth. Amen. And let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Amen. Don't be so quick, in other words. Don't be so fast just to utter whatever you feel like saying. You will have to give an account for every word. Amen. It comes from the heart. Once it leaves your mouth, it's recorded. And it will be brought back to your mind one of these days. And that's why salvation is out of the heart. Just like the Bible says that out of the heart are the issues of life. That's exactly what the Bible talks about salvation. This is your conscience. This is what you believe. This is your thoughts. This is the seat of all understanding. It is not just an organ that's pumping blood. But by the same way, this is what the heart is, the one that keeps you alive. And the heart is the one where the issues of life come out. And that's why the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe with thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You have to believe with your heart. In other words, it's not just a mental assent. It's not just a mind puzzle or a mind attitude. It has to come from the heart. When I repented of my sins, there was no doubt it was from my heart. I cried a whole bunch. When I realized what God had done for me and how wicked I had been, He touched my heart. He broke my heart. That's why Jesus says, a broken heart and a contrite heart, I will not reject. That's what He wants. And He says, for with the heart, men believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You confess what's in your heart, but you have to believe with your heart, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation. It has to be with your heart. In other words, it's not what somebody else had said. It's not what somebody else believes. It's not what your mom or dad or your brothers believe. You have to believe it with all your heart. Let me just give you the last thing that Moses said. I always like to go to the last chapters of everybody, or the last words that were spoken, whether they're of Paul, whether they're of Jesus, whether it's Moses or Abraham or Jacob or whoever it is. I like the last statements in life, because this is where they remove all the other things that were also important, but now we come down to the nitty-gritty. Now we come to the end. This is the last advice that they're going to give you. And I hear Moses speaking to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 30. And he says unto them, when you come back from all the nations whom where God has driven you out, because it is God the one that drove them out. It is God that spanked them. It is God that punished them. He is the judge. No king can do anything unless they are given permission of God. That's what Jesus told Pilate. You couldn't do anything unless you were given permission. That's right. And that's why Moses is saying, when you come back after you've been all over in all the nations, and you come back and you obey His voice as I have commanded you, He says, with all your heart and with all your soul, He says, then the Lord will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee. And that's what the whole Bible tells you. When you repent of your sins and put all your faith and trust in God, when you trust in Him, that's when He'll have compassion on you. Not when you're out in the world, not when you're out with the nations, not when you're out there doing all your sin and doing all the things that you want to do. When you line up your heart with God's heart, that's when you will have compassion from God. He says, and then I will circumcise your heart to love the Lord thy God. You see, without the circumcision of the heart, that's why Stephen also told the people of Israel, you uncircumcised in the heart, you never did obey, just like your fathers. You always disobeyed. They were uncircumcised in the heart. Moses is telling them, when you do repent, you'll find it in Deuteronomy 30, all that story. I'm just paraphrasing. I took down what I wanted to tell you. But that's the essence of it. He says, when you come back and you repent, then God will have compassion on you, and I will circumcise your heart that you may love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. God will have to circumcise your heart. That's the only way you can really love Him. When you're not saved, your heart is deceitful above all things. When it's circumcised, that's when God comes to dwell in your heart. When you call upon Him, that's when He'll come in and He'll save you. And then He says, choose life. Choose life. Because it's really up to you. God will not force Himself on you. This is your will. And throughout the scriptures, He tells you, you have a choice. And He tells you very plainly, I'm going to offer to you life and death, blessings and cursings. And I'd rather that you choose life. That's why God says in Ezekiel, why will you die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn and live. So the Bible is, tells you over and over. Then in the New Testament, last verse, chapter 10, verse 22, he says, let us draw near with a true heart, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Let's draw on to God near with a true heart. In other words, repent of your sins. If you're here and you haven't trusted in the Lord, it's a heart problem. It's a heart issue. And we all have a bad heart. It's not only him, her, them. It's all of us. And even when we're saved, how often we like to wander from God. And we like to entertain the things that we shouldn't. That's why it's important that you're very diligent in the things of your heart. Guard your heart with due diligence. Take care of it. The devil will go around and he'll confuse you. He'll have you going in different directions, anything but towards God. It's extremely important. So if you're here this morning and you think that God won't forgive you, maybe you think that you're a real big sinner and God will never forgive you, he knows how bad you are. He knows how all of us have been. He will forgive you. If he forgave Paul, who used to wreck the whole church, who he says, I am the chief of sinners. If he forgave Paul, he will forgive you also. All you have to do is just come to him, believe in him with all your heart, and he will save you. We're going to stand. We're going to sing the song 249, and the altar will be opened. If you want to get saved, you can come here. I'll get somebody to talk to you and answer any questions you might have. You want to come and get things right with God? Come to the front. 249.